I want to show a video this evening from the Slavic Baptist Mission. It was founded in Ukraine about 20 years ago and was kind of a follow-up on the ministry of Georgi Benz. Many of you are familiar with that, who was a Russian pastor who was kept in Siberia for many, many years, persecuted. And Dr. Ed Nelson, who, by the way, passed away this week, he served many, many years in Colorado, founded a church there, founded a Christian school, and also founded the Slavic Baptist Mission, traveled back and forth teaching in the Ukraine. They have a Bible college there that has trained hundreds of young men to go out and plant churches. They planted 95 churches in the Ukraine. Many of them, they have not heard from because of the fact of communication lines that have been destroyed, the bombing that the Russians have done. And so I wanted to connect you with a mission work that's going on in the Ukraine area. They have been training pastors not only for Ukraine, but Belarus, Russia, Poland. They speak several dialects that are very similar. And so I want you to watch. It's about 12 minutes long, and we're laying hands on the equipment. I tried to get it to work with my iPad. I couldn't get it. I could get sound. And then whenever I did some finagling, I could get the video without the sound. So I was going to have Dr. Watt do hand puppet things on the screen as the audio was playing, but we decided to use his laptop, which seems to work for some reason.
Don't set me up for failure.
So, brother, would you try to start the video for us, please?
If you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
These were the words that opened the door for the gospel to be taken into the former USSR. Evangelist Neil Cadwell began evangelistic trips to Ukraine in 1990. Located in Eastern Europe, Ukraine's borders stretch from Poland to Russia, with the Black Sea running along its southern border. It is about the size of Texas and is the largest inland mass and population in Europe. 44 million people live in Ukraine, many of them in poverty. It is among one of the poorest nations in Europe, with the average worker making the equivalent of $300 a month. Like many other former communist nations, it is religious only in name. Over 70% of the population is involved in the Eastern Orthodox Church. Around 12.5% profess to be Catholic, and only 2.2% claim to be some type of Protestant. Its shining cities and sparkling cathedrals have an attractive glitter about them. However, it is a place of spiritual darkness that desperately needs Jesus Christ, the light of the world. When the wall came down, Evangelist Cadwell went to Ukraine with his gospel gun blazing and saw hundreds of souls saved. He became a pioneer missionary to a people that he could not talk about without weeping. He is the only American evangelist who spent over half of his 58-year ministry giving himself to the people of Ukraine. In 1996, Dr. Cadwell began the Slavic Baptist Institute to train nationals to fulfill the Great Commission in the Slavic world. SBI graduates receive instruction in a number of theological studies. They also receive practical experience in evangelism, church planting, and Christian camp ministry. We equip students to be indigenous missionaries, going to their own nations and spreading the gospel to their own people. 2021 marked the 25th anniversary of SBI. Since its founding, over 225 men and women have graduated from the Institute, and 95 churches have been started in four countries in the Eastern Bloc countries, all to the glory of God. Along with founding Slavic Baptist Institute, Neil Cadwell also saw the need to start Slavic Baptist Mission. This would be the mission board that would oversee all the mission work in Ukraine. SBI's mission is to reach Ukraine with the gospel, train nationals as they surrender to the call of God, and plant churches throughout the Slavic region. Brother Cadwell went home to be with the Lord in 2017, but his life's work and legacy lives on because he made some key decisions before he passed away. His first decision was to recruit Carl Lenderman to be a teacher at SBI and appoint him as Vice President of Slavic Baptist Mission. Since 2010, Carl has traveled four times a year to teach classes and help lead the Slavic Baptist Institute. In 2011, Dr. Cadwell asked Derek Thomas to begin leading SBI teaching sessions. In 2013, Brother Neil made his last trip to Ukraine and had a special installation service for Derek to become the new school president. Derek and Julie raised their support and in 2017 moved to Kyiv, where he conducts the day-to-day ministries of SBI.
Well, it's exciting to see what God is doing in Ukraine and through the ministry of SBI. And we have students that come from all across the country to study. We also have them that come internationally. We've had students and graduates from Belarus, from Moldova. We currently have students from Lithuania that come, and they come for the sessions where they're trained in biblical philosophy of ministry, biblical doctrines. It allows opportunities for them to also have times of fellowship together. We have chapel services. We have a choir that has recorded CDs and has done some wonderful work. Music is a very special part of SBI and the ministry there. So we praise God for Brother Neil, what he started and founded there, and for the work that God has continued there, and for the future of Slavic Baptist Institute.
Just before passing away, Dr. Cadwell asked Pastor Rick Arrowwood, who is a founding board member of SBM, to follow him as the general director of SBM. And in 2020, he assumed that role. He and his wife, Dolly, live in Byron, Georgia, and travel representing Slavic Baptist Mission. Dr. Arrowwood traveled several times with Brother Cadwell to Ukraine, preaching with him and teaching in the Institute.
It has been my honor to follow Brother Cadwell, who is a beloved friend. At his funeral, I spoke of our close friendship down through the years. I will never forget the first time we went to Ukraine together. It was in 1994, before we started the Slavic Baptist Institute. We were scheduled to cross the border and preach in Gomel, Belarus, at an old military theater built in the late 30s. That theater was built to train combat soldiers and the KGB agents in the former USSR. We pulled up into the parking lot that evening, and there's only a few vehicles there. In my heart, I wondered how many people would truly be there. When we walked in, I was amazed. The place was packed. Every seat was taken, and people filled the foyer and were standing in the aisles along the walls. We both preached that night, and 70 adults responded to the invitation and prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. It was a unique opportunity. At first, I felt strange that we were preaching in a theater that was used to train soldiers to hate us and even kill us. But immediately, I thought of the scripture there in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he, that is God, is able to save them," that is the Soviets, the former Soviets, "to the uttermost that come to God by him," that is Jesus. That night, Neil and I witnessed that preaching the gospel is truly the power of God unto salvation, and that Ukraine is a field white unto harvest. God has given us a tremendous window of opportunity, a parenthesis of time. We must pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into this dark, hungry land.
Slavic Baptist Mission oversees and funds 4 weekly sessions of the Slavic Baptist Institute. The funding takes care of the students' travel, tuition, room and board, meals, translators, staff salaries, curriculum, and other needs that may arise. The philosophy of SBM for educating the students in Ukraine is twofold. First, to keep the cost down for their education. Most of our graduates return to their home area with a burden and calling to reach their kinsmen according to the flesh. And second, to train nationals on the field so as to remove any temptation for graduates to stay in the U.S. when trained in a stateside school. This has been the most economic and effective way to educate nationals and spread the gospel in Slavic countries. To give you a perspective of this cost, Dr. Arrowwood's Bible class on the Book of Romans had 77 students. Their currency is called hryvnia, and the exchange rate was 28 hryvnia to one U.S. dollar. Those students were educated for $39 per student. The leadership of SBM realizes that this door of field training can close at any time. Therefore, the Ukrainian school staff have been trained to step in if that were to happen. Today, our main campus is located in Heliminsky, Ukraine, where one of our graduates, Sergei Chris, serves as the pastor. During the pandemic, we held classes in Kiev due to travel restrictions. SBM also funds and oversees summer camp programs. This is one of the most fruitful ministries, seeing many juniors and teens saved. An added blessing has been that some of the kids who were saved at camp have gone on to attend SBI. Sometimes our pastors and their wives develop a burden to take in orphan children. While the government will give them a small stipend, they are required to have room in their homes. Slavic Baptist Mission has funded room additions for approved pastors and in some cases helped them purchase an adjacent home for them to start an orphanage. On numerous occasions, SBM has provided funds to purchase church buildings for our students and graduates. Recently, Dr. Arrowwood learned from Derek that one of the students was renting a building from the town government when a building came up for sale that was in a better location and in much better condition. The building was being sold for 988,000 hryvnia, or $26,000. The church had $18,000 on hand and needed $8,000 to purchase the building. The SBM board began by giving the first $1,000 to this need. Other churches came alongside, and the Lord provided the rest of the funds. The pastor and the church rejoiced in God, meeting their need.
As you can see, the Slavic Baptist Mission is distinctively different than most mission boards. Though we are a small board, we have a large presence in Ukraine, funding our Bible Institute, which is so critical, and conducting our summer camps, and helping our pastors with orphanages, and taking our students on mission trips, are all worthy ministries. They are designed to carry out the great commission of our Lord that He gives us in Matthew chapter 28. Our graduates are returning to their hometowns or their country with a burden to reach their kinsmen according to the flesh. Slavic Baptist Mission is a fruitful and worthy ministry. Dolly and I are privileged to be a part of it. Would you pray for us and possibly partner with us as we reach Ukraine with the gospel, as we train nationals to go into local churches and serve the Lord? And would you please remember us in prayer? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Watt. And I hope that your eyes have been opened. You know, when you think about their world in the past 3 weeks, turned completely upside down. Their ministry in Kiev, now surrounded by Russian troops. The region that they began in, now controlled by Russian troops. And it may seem like, well, that's coming to an end. But you know what God can do? God can continue His work in spite of the Russians, and maybe even see the gospel go to them. There have been several that have indicated that Russian soldiers have been witnessed to by Ukrainian Christians who went up there, brought them water, brought them something to eat, and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, they're enemies. Well, they're going to spend eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. And so they have a responsibility to carry the gospel to them. Amen? And so we can't pick and choose who we give the gospel to. All mankind needs the truth of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to show that tonight, to open your eyes, to be praying. We want to continue to pray that the Lord would lay on our hearts ways in which we can help and help these believers in Christ. And so Slavic Baptist Mission does have a giving location on their website. If you want to go on it and give something now, you don't have to wait for us. You can give there, and the money will be used for helping those that are there in the Ukraine, those believers, to be able to continue their work. They don't want to leave. That's the wonderful thing about it. They want to stay. Whatever that means, can you make a choice like that? Lord, I'm going to stay no matter what that means. But that's what they've done. And we need to pray for them, and we need to support them any way that we can. Can we bow our heads for just a moment and pray for them? Father in heaven, we thank you for alerting us to this ministry there in Kyiv. We thank you, Father, for the work that's being done by the Slavic Baptist Mission. And we know that those people that are serving there at the Slavic Baptist Institute, that their world is changed dramatically from what it was before. The teaching and training of young people has been stopped temporarily. We would pray, dear Father, that you would put a hedge about them, first of all, of protection to allow them to be able to continue to minister, and that you would allow them to be a witness and testimony during these difficult times. And Father, I pray that you'd touch our hearts to remember them in prayer faithfully, that we might give and support in any way that we can to assist in the work that's done. But the prayer is so very important. Help us not to focus only on our troubles. There are much more to focus on outside of ourselves. And so, Father, I pray that you would stir up our hearts to remember these folks in prayer. And we pray especially for wisdom, for those that are directing, for Brother Rick as he directs the Slavic Baptist Mission, for wisdom on how to help. We pray that you would show him what to do and how the dollars should be spent to assist those that are there in country. And Father, we look to you to help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. I'm just going to spend a few moments in this passage of Scripture. We've been dealing with the life and ministry of John the Baptist on Sunday nights, and specifically last time we were looking at his message. Can anyone remember from last Sunday? I know that's a whole week ago. What were the first words of John the Baptist's message? Repent. Repent ye. Or we could put it this way. You repent. You repent. And I want us to think about this word for just a few moments tonight, in consideration on what we laid as groundwork last time, because this message of repentance is followed by another statement that's made. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many of you believe that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? So, well, it's been 2,000 years. Where's the promise of His coming? Where do we remember hearing that? That was in 1 Peter, where they said, where's the promise of His coming? He's not come yet. So we're just going to go on and live life. No, I'm sorry. We have to understand the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye. Change your mind. Because God is sending His Son very soon. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There are many that try to make a big difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But, you know, in my own personal study, I've come to realize that whenever you say the kingdom of heaven, you are saying the kingdom of God, because who rules in heaven? God does. And you know what's interesting to me? In Luke chapter 15 and verse 21, it says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. That was the prodigal son that said that. I have sinned against heaven. What was he saying that he had sinned against? Was it the third heaven up there that he was saying? No. Heaven represents the abode of whom? God. I think sometimes in our efforts to rightly divide the word of truth that we can slice and dice and we can come up with all kinds of things, but really the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. It's His heaven. He made it. It's His abode. And so unless the Bible specifically says this is different from that, we have to be careful, amen? And I've done some study and I haven't seen anything that would indicate that it's different. The Bible says this is different than that. And we can be discerning, but we have to understand something. When you think of heaven, it's simply another way of saying God's place. It's God's place. Think about this. If you're a believer here tonight, you're going to go live with God for all eternity. And you know what? As a Christian, we're actually living with God now. Because everywhere I go, everywhere I move, everywhere I walk, God is already there. Some of you remember the westward expansion in our country back in the 1800s, and they used to have a saying that says, "No God west of the Pecos." Anybody ever heard that? The missionary Whitman, who he and his wife lost their lives to Indian attack, said that when they went into California for the very first time, they only got to go once. They said they looked at the beauty of California and they said, "No God west of the Pecos, God was already here. God was already here. Look at the beauty of His creation." You see, folks, we're going to get to live with God for all eternity in a place called heaven. In a place called heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you and I live with that knowledge and understanding on a day-by-day basis? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment to take us to be with Him? Snatched off this earthly scene and brought into the presence of God in heaven? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean, at hand? We don't use that expression anymore. If you do, you're showing your age if you do. But at hand means it could come at any moment. Any moment. You know, children get excited when you say, "All right, we're going to load up and we're going to go to Chick-fil-A or we're going to go to McDonald's," and they get all excited. And you say, "No, wait a minute, I didn't say we were going right now." Oh! Right? "You're going to have to wait. We got to do a few chores first." Oh, don't you love that, kids? Yeah, when you're here, "We got to do a few chores first." Well, that can take days. It's not going to take days, but in a child's mind, it does. All right? "We're going to go to McDonald's, but we're going to do some chores first, and then we're going to load up and go." And the kids scurry. And they are working furiously because what's at hand? Going to eat. We get excited about that, don't we? I'm going to tell you something, Christian. There's something more exciting than McDonald's. Amen? There's something more exciting than going to Chick-fil-A. And you may be deciding to go somewhere tonight after the service. By the way, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, so you're going to have to think of something different. But the fact is, the kingdom of heaven is presently at hand. We are watching this world fall into place and all the things that God has said is going to take place. Guess who called upon China to send troops to Ukraine? Guess who called upon other nations in Syria, all right, to send troops from there to fight against the Ukrainians? Putin, the president of Russia, calling them forth. Now, I don't know whether they're going to come or not, but the Bible tells us in the last days that those forces will all join together and they've got a common enemy. And that's Israel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what are we supposed to do? What did John say? Repent. Do you know repentance is not just for sinners? Repentance is for Christians too. You know, we need our mind changed from time to time, do we not? We get all stubborn in what we want to do. I'm going to do this. Well, God may have other plans. I'm going to go do that. Well, God may have other plans. What did James tell us to do? Don't say we're going to go to the city or go here or go there. What are we to say instead? The Lord willing, we shall go here and shall go there. A reminder that God's in charge of all those things. And so as we conclude tonight, you think about what we just watched there in Ukraine and the upheaval that's happened. Oh Lord, why are you allowing all this to happen? Lord, we were training servants to go. Can those servants still go? They've got their training, many of them. Some of them perhaps just starting, but God's not done just because an autocratic leader decides he's going to move his troops into Ukraine. God's not all of a sudden, oh, what are we going to do? Holy Spirit, God the Father, let's all get together. What are we going to do now? Putin has done this. God knows all that. God knows all that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the message of John the Baptist. Oh, how important it is to have our minds conformed to your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we don't have that mind, we have to repent. We have to change our minds. Metanoia. Change them. Bring them in line with your thinking. And Lord, we're reminded that your kingdom is at hand. These were the words that were uttered by John the Baptist some 2,000 years ago. And many have lost faith, thinking that your coming is not soon, that your coming has been pushed off, way off into the future. But, Lord, we know that it's imminent. It can happen at any time. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would change our minds and bring it into conformity with your word. And we thank you, dear Father, for the awareness that we have now of the Ukraine, and those faithful servants that are there, teachers, Bible teachers, students that have been training. Lord, we pray for them tonight that you would secure them with your peace and mercy and grace that they need right now, and that you would help them not to forget their call, but that you'd use them for your honor and glory to continue to put out the message of the gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.